Ephesians chapter 1. We are starting the next section here in chapter 1, and that is Paul's prayer for the Ephesian believers. Last week we began looking at some introductory thoughts, and I have one more introductory thought to share before we really dive into the details of what Paul is praying for in these verses. But Ephesians 1, we'll read verses 15 through 23. We'll read Paul's prayer here again, and then we'll share that final thought before we get into the details of these over the next few weeks. Paul says, verse 15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Let's pray, and we'll look at this thought. Father, we thank you again for the time that we have to come together as brothers and sisters, and Lord, enjoy each other's fellowship, here to encourage one another, comfort one another, even if need be, to challenge and to provoke unto love and good works. Pray now that you be with us as we search your scriptures again tonight, as we look at Paul's prayer here and his other prayers throughout the scripture. Lord, may we learn from this great man, a man who knew how to pray and knew what to pray for. May you help us in our own prayer lives to know what to pray for, and Lord, to be diligent to pray for those things for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you again for all that you have done for us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, in verses 17 through 19, we really have the meat of Paul's prayer. We find four primary things that he is praying for these believers about. I'll review those quickly. The first is in verse number 17. Paul prayed that they would receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And he rephrases that at the beginning of verse number 18 when he says, "the eyes of our understanding being enlightened." In the rest of verse 18, we have the two next things Paul prays for. He prays that they may know what is the hope of his calling. And he prays that they may know what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And then in verse 19, we have the final thing. He prays that they may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. What I want us to focus on tonight and really take a special look at as we search the scriptures is I want you to notice Paul's focus here in this prayer for the believers. I want you to notice that Paul's focus is spiritual. These things that Paul is praying for are spiritual in nature. He wasn't just concerned about their outer man. He was concerned about their inner man. Now, I'm not saying that Paul wasn't at all concerned about their physical state. I'm sure he was like the Apostle John who said this in 3 John 1 verse 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." I'm sure Paul cared about how they were doing physically. But as you study Paul's prayers throughout the scriptures, what you're going to find is that he was always more concerned about the spiritual state of his brothers and sisters in Christ. Why? Because Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 4:16, "Because the outward man will perish, but the inner man can be renewed day by day." I hate to tell you this, but the truth is this: you can pray about your health all day and you're going to still fall apart. It's just because of the curse. Your body will fall apart. And it doesn't matter how much time you spend on your knees. You're not going to reverse the curse. Your body is going to get old. It will fall apart. It will eventually perish. The outward man is perishing. But through all of that perishing that takes place on the outer man, guess what can get stronger as the years go by? The inner man. And so what we're going to do this morning, or this evening, is we're going to look at Paul's prayers throughout the scriptures. And I'm going to make some other comments as we go through, but what I want you to notice is this. Paul's prayers, when it came for other people, were primarily spiritual in their nature. Were people going through difficult times? Yes. But when Paul writes back to this church and says, this is what I'm praying for you about, he doesn't talk about their health. He doesn't talk about their finances. He talks about spiritual things. You see, when it comes to our needs, what the Apostle Paul understood, and what it seems to me the American Christian doesn't understand, is that our greatest needs are not physical but spiritual. Satan doesn't want you to think that. The world doesn't want you to think that, and your own flesh doesn't want you to think that. Satan, the world, and your flesh want to convince you that the greatest thing in your life is all of the physical stuff going on. And therefore, you focus all of your energy and all of your time on those physical things. Brother Larry, we have somebody that would like to get in, if you can open that for them. But as we see what the Apostle Paul prays for here and elsewhere in the scriptures, we're going to see that over and over, Paul prays for the spiritual needs of his brothers and sisters in Christ, because Paul understood what was most important in the life of his brothers and sisters. And that was what was going on in their inner man. And it's my hope and prayer that as we study what the Apostle Paul prayed for when it came to his brothers and sisters, that we would begin to reflect that in our prayers. As Christians, we need to be living with the spiritual in view. Our prayers need to reflect that too. So this is what I want to do. There are 13 different times in the epistles that the Apostle Paul prays for people. And we're going to quickly go through them. And I want you to notice what Paul prays for. Then at the end, I have a couple things to pass out that I hope will help you with that. Let's start first in Romans chapter 10. I believe I have these just in the order that they appear in Scripture. So this isn't a chronological order or anything like that. But let's look at what Paul prayed for. Would you agree with me that Paul was a great Christian? He was. Should we not learn to pray then from a great man like the Apostle Paul? First and foremost, we learn from the man Christ Jesus. But after that, we can learn from great Christians. And Paul was a great Christian. And we want to see how he prayed. And maybe we can pray the same way as well. Romans 10, verse number 1. We have a lot going on right now in our country. We have a lot going on with the nation of Israel. You know, there's always been stuff going on with the nation of Israel. Even before 1948, when they officially became a country. Israel has always been under persecution. You know, at the time Paul was writing, Israel was under persecution. The Jews were being scattered by Rome all over. I want you to notice what Paul prays for, though. Romans 10, verse number 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now, do you think Paul was concerned for their safety? Absolutely. But what was he more concerned about? Their salvation. Because you can be safe all of your life and die and go to hell. Think about that. We're talking about, we want people to be safe. Maybe these things have come into their life to wake them up so that they might be saved. So our primary prayer for the nation of Israel, to me, should be what Paul prayed for. There was persecution in that day. And you know what Paul said? My heart's desire and prayer for Israel is. Not that they never suffer persecution, even though no doubt he didn't want them to suffer persecution. He said, I want them to be saved. That was his heart's desire. So a spiritual thing that we see here. Romans chapter 15. I think that's the only one dealing with the lost. Anytime you see prayers for lost people in the Bible, it is primarily just for the salvation of their soul. But Romans 15, now we look at mostly the rest of these will all be with Christians, what Paul prayed for Christians about. Romans 15, let's start reading in verse number 30. What did Paul want other people to pray for him about? Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. So he's pleading with them, please pray for me. What does he want prayer for? Verse 31. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. First thing we see, and I'm going to make this general, but he wanted them to pray for him, and we can then by extension say for Christian leaders, to be rescued from opposition. Why did Paul not want to be delivered into the hands of those evil men? Because he didn't want to suffer pain. Even when he talked about something physical, what was the purpose? Spiritual. I want to serve God with my life. And if I go there and I'm bound by them, he's not worried about himself. I won't be able to minister to all these other places. So still a spiritual nature there. He wanted them to pray for him and other Christian leaders to find their service acceptable to those they minister to. And then for himself, and by extension, we can add Christian leaders to be refreshed. You know, Paul had a hard job. And he said, pray for me to be refreshed. Why? Because he just wanted to feel good so he could sit at home. He wanted to feel refreshed so he could go out and do more of the work of God. It was still a spiritual nature even to this refreshment. Ephesians chapter 1 is the next prayer, and that is the one we'll be looking at here in a couple weeks. So we're going to skip to the next one, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, this is the second prayer that Paul brings up in this letter to the Ephesians. Again, I want you to notice what he's praying for. Ephesians 3, start reading verse number 14. Paul says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. What is he praying for? That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So we see four things here that Paul prayed for. He prayed for inward strength, for Christ's presence to dwell in their hearts, to know and comprehend the love of Christ, and to be filled with the fullness of God. Notice again that verse number 16, to be strengthened with might where? In the inner man. You know what Paul was concerned about? That these Christians would grow stronger, not necessarily physically, because that's not possible for everybody. But you know what everybody can do? Be stronger spiritually. And Paul focused his prayer to that extent. Philippians chapter 1. Again, we have a lot to look at here, so we're going to just move quickly and make brief points. But Philippians chapter 1. We'll start reading in verse number 9. And this I pray, okay, what he's going to pray about, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. What else? That ye may approve things that are excellent. What else? That ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. So he prayed for their love to abound more and more in knowledge and judgment. He prayed for them to approve things that are excellent. He prayed for them to be sincere and without offense. And he prayed for them to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Those are some pretty good things. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. All of these things I have listed out on a piece of paper here, so I'll pass that out to you. Colossians 1, start reading in verse number 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul said, listen, I am praying for you without ceasing. And here's my prayer, that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why did he make that the focus of his prayer? Because notice what would result from it, verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And then he continues on. But primarily there in verse number 9, Paul prayed that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Why did he pray for that? Because six things would result. It would help them to walk worthy. It would help them to bear fruit. It would help them to increase in the knowledge of God. It would help strengthen them. It would help them endure with patience and joy. It would help them give thanks. Now, those six things that I just listed, most Christians struggle with. They really do. They're not as fruitful as they should be. They don't walk worthy like they should be. They're not increasing in the knowledge of God. They're not enduring with patience. They're not giving thanks. So guess what we should pray for? Lord, would you help them to be filled with the knowledge of the will of God? Because if they can get that, that will overflow in all these other areas in their life. And so Paul made that a preeminent thing that he prayed for these believers. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Paul is going to ask them to pray for him again. Again, by extension, we can say all Christian leaders then should have people praying with them about these things. You say, what should I pray for my pastor about? These things right here. The same thing that Paul said, I want you to pray for me about these things. This is what we should be praying for when it comes to our Christian leaders. Colossians 4, let's start reading verse number 2. Paul says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Paul said, would you pray for me? Not for my health. I say we can't do that. But his priority was this. Would you pray for me that I would speak as I ought? That doors of utterances would be opened unto me and I would take those opportunities as I should. Maybe our brothers and sisters in Christ would be the witnesses that they should be if we prayed more for that. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters that when a door is opened unto them, that they would speak as they ought. This is what Paul had in mind when it came to himself. And then again, we can make that extension to all. Number 8, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Again, I'm pretty positive I have almost every one of Paul's prayers. There may be one or two that I missed, but again, you're going to notice over and over the spiritual nature of Paul's prayers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, let's start reading in verse number 9. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So Paul prayed for Christian leaders to be directed so that others' faith would be perfected, and he prayed for an increasing love toward each other and toward all men. Go to chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. So Paul prayed for complete sanctification of body, soul, and spirit. And then he just asked them, pray for us. Pray for Christian leaders. 2 Thessalonians, number 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's start reading in verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul prayed that God would make them worthy of his calling, that God would fulfill all the good pleasures of his goodness, and that God would complete his work of faith in power. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Why did he want them to pray for them? That the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it was with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. What did Paul want them to pray for him for? That the word of the Lord would have free course. Before you come to church on Sunday, you know what would be a good prayer? Lord, we're going to come to church today. Would you help the pastor as he preaches the word, that it would have free course in the hearts and minds of the people that come today. What a prayer that would be. What a help that would be. 1 Timothy chapter 2, this is number 12. This isn't a prayer, but Paul gives some things we should pray for. 1 Timothy chapter 2, start reading verse number 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Why is he asking people to pray for all of these different things for these people? Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? We should be praying for those in authority. One, that they would get saved. And two, they would leave us alone. So we can live quiet, peaceable lives. Would you help them to leave us alone? Not because we don't want persecution, so we can live the way we know we ought to live. And then one more, Philemon. Philemon, one chapter there. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James. Philemon, we'll start reading in verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. What is he going to pray for them about? That the communication of thy faith, the communication is the idea of sharing, may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So Paul prayed for them to share and experience their faith in a real way. 13 prayers that we just went through with the Apostle Paul. I'm pretty positive it's almost all of them, if not all of them. What is the overwhelming thing you see when Paul prays? Spiritual. Doesn't mean we can't pray about the physical. But what's more important? We all say spiritual. But then look at what you pray for and see what do you give the most time to. Is it for only the physical needs of your brothers and sisters in Christ? Or are we also praying for the spiritual needs of our brothers and sisters in Christ? Paul prayed for spiritual needs because at the end of the day, that is the greatest thing that we all need. If I can get Brother Joe and then Brother Sean, I got two papers to pass out for you tonight. This one I'll give to you. Some people won't need that, so let me explain that. You can go ahead and pass that one out to everybody. The one that Brother Joe has, if you are here on Wednesday, it is the list that we pass out that have the people in our church. So if you're here on Wednesday and have received one, what you Brother Joe is going to pass out, you won't need. But if you're not here on Wednesday, let's say it like this. If you're not here on Wednesday to get one of those, just raise your hand and Brother Joe will pass one of those to you. The other one, nobody has just yet, and so Brother Sean will pass that out to everybody. But we got two sheets being passed out. The one sheet that Brother Joe has is a list of the names of most of the people that attend our church. Again, we have some newer people that have been attending, and I made that a little while ago, so they may not be on that. But that has almost everybody that has been attending our church. You'll see that there's a front and a back to that. And then what Brother Sean is passing out is everything we looked at tonight from Paul's prayers. This is what I'd ask you to do. There are six columns on this one with the names of all the people. There are 7 days in a week. One day, pray through one column. So they're in alphabetical order, so the Adam's going to get lots of prayer tomorrow. But do this. You can start at the end of the alphabet, whatever way you want to do it. But you got six columns worth of people. These people attend our church. Some not so faithfully. Some faithfully. Some are not doing well spiritually. Some are doing well spiritually. Some not so good physically. Some doing okay physically. Pray for them. What do we pray for? You say, I don't even know. I don't even know who this Jim Bednarz is. How do you say your last name, brother? Bednarz. Now you know who he is. But yeah, I don't know who this Ron Bernowski is. Ron and Brooks, they come every other Sunday because he works. You say, I don't know what to pray for him about. You got another piece of paper with a whole bunch of things you can pray for Ron and Brooks about. Because you don't have to know their physical state to pray for them. We think that. Well, no one mentioned anything going on in their life. I have nothing to pray for. My brothers and sisters don't need any prayer. No, they absolutely do. Because the greatest needs in our life are spiritual. And we all have spiritual needs. We all could grow more. We all could have more love. We all could have more knowledge. All of those things. So take one side, you pray for through the list, and take the other one, and you know, however the Lord leads you or however you divide it up. And I'm going to pray for these certain things for these people. And then Tuesday, I'm going to go to the second column. I'm going to pray for these things on this list for those people. And then the third column, and you go throughout the week. And in 1 week, I'm not here trying to make people feel bad, but honestly, when was the last time you prayed for everybody in your church? We say we're brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm not trying to... But in 1 week, going through this list, you can pray for every person in your church. And you may not even know who they are, but you don't have to know that. Paul didn't know every Ephesian believer there was, but he prayed for them. He prayed for them. He didn't know all the believers at Colossae, but he prayed for them. And he prayed spiritually because he knew every one of them needed that. And so I encourage you, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ and make a good majority of your prayers for them spiritual in nature. And then, hey, so-and-so is going to be in the hospital. Pray about that, for sure. You hear someone has a surgery going on. Pray for them for that, for sure. But just because someone doesn't have a surgery doesn't mean they don't need prayer. In fact, I haven't been in the hospital for such a long time, but I need prayer. Talking about spiritual leaders needing refreshed, I need refreshed. Pray for me about that. Maybe you need refreshed. But we just go through these things and we pray spiritually for our brothers and sisters, and I believe with all my heart it'd make a big difference for you and for them. So let's determine to pray for one another and focus on the spiritual needs they have, and may the Lord help us in these areas as brothers and sisters in Christ. All right. If you have a question about that, please come see me. I do have more of these if you would like more. I think we ran out of the other one, and I can print more of those off if we need it. But let me challenge you with that. Pray for your brothers and sisters and pray about those needs that we see the Apostle Paul praying for. All right, let's have a word of prayer.